Hey, Mama, you're listening to the Motherhood Restored podcast, where we talk about how to overcome destructive anger and burnout as a mother with the Lord's help. We discuss how to get to the root of our anger and destructive patterns, as well as implement joy and helpful motherhood and marriage tips along the way. I'm Natalie Hickson. I used to hurt my kids and husband with my rage. With the Lord's help, I overcame the abusive and destructive behaviors and became a certified professional life coach, and now use my story, experience, and expertise to help other mamas restore their motherhood journeys so they can model healthy emotional processing to their kids, as well as find joy and actually love being the wife and mama the Lord created them to be. If that's you're in the right place listening to the right podcast, let's jump into today's episode. Hey, mamas. Today, I'm so excited to have Mike in my office with me. I almost said studio, but I really don't have a studio, do I?
It works. Hi, everyone.
Mike is my husband. How many years have we been married, honey?
Today, we're in 2024. We got married in 2001. So 23 years this June.
And we've been dating, never broke up. There was a few times we wanted to, but we didn't. How many years?
28 years this year.
So here we are, still married and tolerating each other.
No, the time has flown by. It's been great.
It really has been. It hasn't been always great. And we're going to talk about that today. I have invited Mike on here to share more of the ugly and the good. So I wanted to create a video / audio about just our journey together and to give more of you mamas hope. But I hope that it's not just you mamas listening. I hope that your husbands will listen to this too, because it will give a lot of encouragement to husbands out there who have been struggling with a wife who's been feeling this way and having these destructive behaviors. And maybe even if you are experiencing destructive behaviors yourself, a lot of what I am sharing will hopefully help you with that as well. All right. Are you ready to get this show on the road?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Cool. All right. So before we start diving into all the meaty stuff, let's start with our little love story, shall we?
Okay.
Like how it started. How did you ask me out?
I was hanging out with my friends and going mountain biking, and you came along to be our photographer. And
as if I had any business taking pictures at that point.
My friend was telling me that I should date you, and I kind of liked the idea, so I took advantage of the opportunity that day when we were together and asked you to date me.
Yeah, I said yes because I was like, oh cool, I finally have a boyfriend. I was only 15 and he was just turned 16. I was a few months from turning 16.
And at that time, it was just high school crush kind of thing.
Right. Never did we imagine we would never separate. We never broke up, ever. No, there's a few times we came close to it, but remember that college experience?
Yeah.
He was like, oh my word, we got to college and there's all these other ducks in the pond. I was like, no, I am your duck. Sorry. I didn't let him get away. Took some convincing, but you stuck around.
You hung on to me.
Although a few years later, you may have wished you would have found a different duck. But
we'll get into that.
I'm glad you stuck around.
So I think another thing that's relevant for our conversation is just thinking about our family background. And you talked about this a little bit in episode one. But just to reiterate, I came from a family where we did not express anger like your family did. We certainly had our share of a conflict and conversations and those kind of things, but just worked through it in a different way than you and your family did. Mm-hmm. And so when we came together, that was a major thing that we had to figure out how to work through.
Yeah, I would say your family really more avoided conflict. And my family sparked at any type of conflict. Yours was like, you know, let's conflict not go was, there.
Conflict is how you work through things.
Yeah.
Whereas my family would sit down and say, okay, we need to talk about this and have a long conversation about what we should do next and those kind of things. So it's just a different way of being.
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember in the story that I share in the beginning, the first podcast, I can remember those days when we first got married and I'd be screaming at you. And I don't know if you remember this, but I just remember you were like super quiet. And I was like, why are you screaming back at me? And you were like, just don't do that. I'm just like, what, this is not supposed to yell too.
In my logical brain, I was just like, that's just not constructive. So just calm down.
That was much, much needed. I should have been that way too, but I wasn't. And I don't regret it now because look at all the things that we've grown through because of it.
Yes. So fast forwarding a little bit, one of the things that distinctly stands out in my mind was after you and I had been going through therapy and coaching and some of those kind of things for a little while. I remember the day when you were upset about something, and I don't even remember what or the situation, but I just remember thinking afterwards, I think I just witnessed a adult temper tantrum. So I was able to step back and look at that situation and observe that for what it actually was.
Oh my word. There's so many temper tantrums back then.
Yeah.
Seriously. When I threw the water bottles at my mom.
There are many things like that, but that stands out in my mind because I was able to think about I was able to separate the anger from the situation
and observe
and see what was going on there.
Which is something I tell my clients when they're dealing with difficult people in their lives is even with their kids, take a step back and become an observer. And watch what's going on instead of getting pulled into it and taking it personally. It's really helpful to just take that step back and be like, wait, what actually is happening here? But you talk about tantrums, and I can remember, I've talked about my 2-year-old tantrums with Enya, but I remember the car. I think that's like the most epic tantrum I remember.
No, which one?
We had dreamed one day, and so we went down and ordered a car.
Oh, right.
And we could not afford the car that we wanted. And we ordered and it came in. And yeah, we were like, we can't get it. It was okay to order it because they were ordering supply anyways. And Dad was friends with the guy who owned the store. So, yeah, have him come in and let's do some dream building. And when that car got to the lot and you were like, we can't buy that car. That was just like a dream building exercise. I flipped out. I literally was on the floor throwing my makeup and screaming and crying. You guys, it was so bad. Just looking back. Yeah. I'm a little pink now thinking about it. Why am I sharing that though? Why am I sharing that, babe?
I was thinking about another situation. So
it's just the tell all. I'm sharing it because I'm not the only one who I'm not the only one who has experienced that.
Yeah.
We can look back and laugh on it now, but in the moment, that was scary. And that was something I didn't know that I could actually overcome. And I knew I was being childish, but I did not know how to get over it. And I didn't know that I could get over it. And throwing those tantrums were, like I have expressed before, I realized in therapy that I had not grown past my 2-year-old, like processing, basically. I was stuck in 2 for emotional processing. And so that's where I was, me and Enya, the same place, throwing tantrums together.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, what else do you remember?
And that makes me think of what we used to call the bedtime battle, where when our kids were much younger and you'd be nursing one of the babies or something like that, and I'd be the one trying to get the girls to go to bed and getting their jammies on and all those kind of things. And I would be, my behavior at that point was more of, I want to play with the kids and do stuff, but also get them to go to bed and read them stories and that kind of thing. And it would often get out of hand, and I couldn't get the girls to do what they needed to do, go to bed, get the jammies on, or whatever.
What is it about dads and kids like that at bedtime, especially? Come on, you like
you're riling the kids up again.
You're totally riling them up, and you're having a good time. And then you're like, oh, there's so many memes on this too. When the mom is, watch.
Yes. But your reaction to how that situation often played out turned to situations where you'd get angry about it.
Yeah. For mom, it's like we've been, most of us, not everyone, obviously there's moms who work outside the home and stuff, but even then, mom's been doing stuff all day. Dad has too. I don't know. You just, by the end of the day, you're just exhausted and you want the kids to go to sleep so you can get some rest and downtime. Dad riling him up and it's just, come on, we need to get him to sleep. And so I think that's a very common trigger that moms experience, is that bedtime battle. Dads too. Dads get frustrated, even though you're trying to play with them, that it just can get out of hand and frustrating for the whole crew. So what else do you remember?
I think those are some great examples of what we dealt with.
Yeah. So how did you cope with all of this?
Good question. I often turned to avoiding the situation. My reaction was, because I didn't like to deal with the conflict, I would avoid the situation. I would avoid bringing up things that would create conflict. I would avoid the hard conversations, those kind of things. And it wasn't a healthy situation that would lead to resolving these things that were a problem, just because I was avoiding the issue. So that was one thing that I did, was just the avoidance, because I was afraid of your reaction.
And in your avoidance, for me, it felt like you were dismissing it and not helping me. I felt alone because I was like, why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you getting the kids to listen to me? Those type of things. We were not communicating on the same page, and it was really frustrating. Yeah.
I think another way that I coped with the situation, I didn't know what to do with your anger. I didn't know how to help you. I didn't know how to change that loop that you got in. And so oftentimes there would be a situation where you'd be dealing with the kids and you'd be angry. And I would just be thinking, oh, how do I need to like step in between the two of you and so that nobody gets hurt. So you don't do something you don't want to do. And so the kids don't get hurt or yelled at and those kind of things. So I'd often like step in as the cop in between. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that made you even more angry.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I get so mad at you. My pride. I was so full of pride in that moment. And again, it's like working with, it was like you had however many kids we had at the time, plus mom being a kid. I was totally just, yeah, being a child myself, full of pride and frustration. And then the other thing too is me expecting everyone to respect me, but I wasn't respecting everyone else. Just because I was the adult by age and size, I expected everyone to respect me, but I was treating them the same way they were acting.
Yeah.
I can remember in therapy, the gal going, you have to be the adult. I am the adult. You have to act that way. And what's that look like? What did you do that wasn't helpful?
So I think along the same lines of that situation where I would step in and try to stop you, I would overcompensate for you in the situation where I'd try to physically stop you, or I would try to prevent something from happening like that. And because I didn't have the clarity about what was really going on. And I think one of the things that leads to the clarity sometimes is letting a situation play out. Like, I can't come in and try to stop you or change you. And so sometimes, as long as nobody was in grave physical danger, I just needed to step back and let that situation play out, instead of intervening and stopping it or trying to overcompensate for you. And when I would let a situation play out, then that would be something that we could come back to later and reflect on.
I know you poor thing, because you were in one of those situations where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Absolutely.
Because if you tried to step in, I'd get angry. And if you didn't step in, I'd get angry.
You get mad at me for not stopping.
I know. How come you're still with me? Oh my goodness. How did you not just walk out? That whole time I'm hating being a mom, and I'm hating that I'm stuck in this environment. I dreamed of being somebody else, living in New York by myself type of thing. And you're just like trying to keep it together. If you would have gone down that same path that I was, we wouldn't be here right now.
Only by the grace of God.
100%. God is so good. He would not. He's like, no, you need to be together.
So just to put a bow on that last question, if I could let a situation play out and in your anger, you do whatever you did, then I would need to come back to that later with you in a conversation and talk to you about it and say, what happened there? What triggered some of those situations? That would have been helpful for you at that time.
Asking me what triggered me.
Right.
Yeah, probably. Which is a good time to like interrupt and say the trigger tracker is something that you husbands can suggest carefully. And moms, you can absolutely go download that for free at my website. The link is in the episode notes. But definitely the trigger tracker is going to help you walk through these moments where you've been triggered. Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you've just felt like you wanted to blow it. Asks you questions on how to work through that. What was going on for you? How do you want it to look like in the future? It's a really good thing to walk through. Dads, you can walk through it too. You could even go through it as a couple and process through it. That would be helpful. Yeah. I have to say though, like, I know we're going to get to this part, but I know that even though there was all this turmoil and challenge going on, we also had a lot of fun and we also loved each other passionately through it.
Yeah.
So there was definitely those ups and downs, and we'll talk more. We'll wrap that up when we finish the episode. But when I just looked at you and I was like, wow, would you stay with me? It wasn't at all the time.
There was definitely a roller coaster. There were high highs and low lows.
Let's see. What did you see as benefits of all the coaching and therapy and stuff that I did? How did that help me? How did it help us?
So I think you told the story of how we took Enya to see the therapist. And then she told you that you were the one that needed to be there, right?
Mm. Yeah. So take me to that very moment. What was going on in your mind when she's like, Natalie, you need to be here?
Relief. Oh, finally, somebody sees it. Oh, man. But yeah, just what were the benefits of, I think, coaching specifically? So we both spent time with that particular therapist and talking about why are we the way that we are, those kind of things. What's our family history and habits and the experiences as a kid that kind of shaped how you think. So that's how I would describe therapy is kind of living in the past and looking at why are you that way. So then transitioning from thinking about therapy to coaching, what I saw happen for you as you found somebody who was a coach, it really changed the dynamic of thinking about the past and asking the why questions to thinking about today and how do you have the tools to process what's going on today and then work towards how you want it to work in the future.
Yeah, it's important and even necessary in most cases to look at our past. And I mean, something we do in my coaching program, we have to acknowledge how we grew up and some of the different relationships that we've experienced in our life and how that has formed who we are and how we think and how we act. But what's interesting is if we haven't worked through any of that, we think that we're stuck. We think we are, this is the way we are. I can remember thinking, I can't change. This is just how I grew up. This is what was modeled. I don't know. I just genetics. And we aren't stuck. Like our Heavenly Father has made us, we're clay in his hands and he does change us and he does grow us and form us and mold us. And it's beautiful because we aren't stuck. And that's one of the biggest messages that I try to get across to moms that I haven't worked with yet. And even moms I am working with, you don't have to stay here. So it's really important and valuable to understand that. And like you're saying, coaching helps us look forward. It gives us action steps. It gives us ways to cope in a healthy way. And
so I want to jump in here and maybe put it in a vernacular that the guys would be more familiar
Oh,
with.
good idea.
So just thinking about sports, there's many kinds of sports, whether it's ball games or performance type sports, individual competitions, all those kind of things. The one thing, there's probably many things, but one thing that's in common amongst all of those sports is each player has a coach. Mm-hmm. And that coach for each player is focused on their performance. I see where you are today, and I want to help you get to be a better version of what you are today. And so that's how it shows up in the sports world, thinking about coaching. So thinking about a life coach or a coach who, like you, who helps moms process and get through anger, it's about how do you change your performance in the game, mm-hmm. your performance in life, performance with the family. And that frame of reference, I think, really changes how I look at that when you think of it like a performance coach for sports.
Yeah. No, that's good. I love it. Thanks, babe. Along that same question, I know a lot of moms want to work with a coach, whether it's me or another program or coach out there. What do you say to a dad who's maybe he's afraid of it? He's unknown. Maybe he's not familiar with coaching himself, or doesn't see any benefit. And it's challenging when they see a dollar sign come up to invest in this. That can be something that the couple has to really overcome. What do you want to say to the dads out there who are considering it or not wanting to invest in that? Maybe they even think that coaching or therapy won't do anything. It's not helpful. It's silly.
Mm-hmm. I think going back to the sports analogy, if someone wants to change, think about basketball. If somebody wants to improve their free throw shot, the thing that they have to do to improve that is they can't stand outside of themselves and look at how they perform those actions and moves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have someone who is outside of your frame of reference. So for a player that outside of their body, outside of their eyes, they have to be able to have someone that stands outside of their frame of reference and observes them from a third party perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so a sports coach can do that. And same with videotaping performance. It's a frame of reference outside of your perspective. Mm-hmm. And so that's why having a coach like you're describing, in a completely different situation, you have somebody who's outside of your frame of reference that can help you reflect on what's going on and say, have you thought about this? Or what about tweaking this little move? Or just those kinds of things that you would never pick up on from within your perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't see it.
No, it's true. Have you ever coached with someone?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've used a coach within my profession, and it has made profound and significant impact on my life and profession.
Okay. So that brings up another good point. It's for your profession. It's going to help you with your return on investment.
Right.
What's the return on investment for a mom going through a program like this?
It's hard to quantify that in dollars and cents, like you can sometimes in sports or with a profession. It's more qualitative. And so when it's qualitative, we're talking about your quality of life, how much you enjoy your kids, how much you enjoy the time that you spend with them. And so when you start talking about those kinds of things, it becomes priceless.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me think, we never did introduce what you do. What do you do? What's your profession, honey?
My profession is within finance and financial planning and working with business owners and oftentimes playing the role of a coach for my clients.
Yeah. Okay. So moving along, how is living with me today?
It's all rainbows and unicorns.
You mean you're going to stay with me for the next I don't know. How many years to be able to live?
That's a given, yes. Check off that box. It's a yes. So living with you today, I think, is, it's not always perfect. But I think it is at a place where there are still challenges that come up.
Hey, and about those challenges, I want you to be really honest. I want the people listening to full transparency. You know what I'm saying? And we should touch on the fact, too, that we've gone through marriage coaching together.
Mm-hmm.
Elise is actually going to come on my show at some point.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited to have her on.
So it's not all perfect all the time. There's still those challenges that come up, and you don't always handle those challenges in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I don't always handle them in the right way. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. But that cycle of working through a challenge to a place of positive resolution to whatever is going on is much shorter than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And happens in a much healthier way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it used to be that I would have a conflict or a disagreement with what you were doing, or vice versa. You would be upset with me about something, and that would take a week of our life to figure out what was going on and how we had to fix it.
Oh my goodness. The silent treatments and
late night fights, and we can't go to bed until we work this out.
3 a.m. screaming matches.
Yeah.
Okay, I was the one screaming.
Yes, you were.
Yes. You were just like, can we please go to bed? Please go to bed. We can fix this tomorrow.
And about that in particular, things are always worse at night.
Oh, 100%. We have now determined and tell our kids, don't start anything after 10 o'clock at night. It's just not worth it. You're too tired. You're shutting down and nothing's going to make sense. It's just, you're going to keep an infinite loop of frustration. I know the Bible says, don't go to bed when you're angry. I don't remember the verse for that. But here's how I deal with that today, if that ever happens, is something that Elisa taught us. And that's Elisa from One Extraordinary Marriage. I'll put a link in the comments. But let's attack the problem together, not each other over the problem. And we also have grown, both you and I have grown in our emotional maturity and processing to be able to be mature enough to say, this is a problem that we need to attack. But we can't attack each other over it. And we need to let our bodies have some rest so we can productively work through it tomorrow.
Another thing that I've heard you say recently is, you need to give me some time on this. If I continue this conversation right now, I'm going to say things that I don't mean, and it's going to go in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And that was something that you never gave yourself the space for.
Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah, because you get into this, you get triggered and you get into this cycle of thought and mindset and stuff we'll talk about further on in the podcast episodes, but you really get into this cycle and you think you have to fix it. You have to be right. You're stuck in your pride. You're stuck in, like, all these thoughts are just consuming you and not letting you, you're not able to break through that cloud, but you can through this growth and working through things together and learning to communicate better. I know that there's some people who are probably like, okay, so really, how often does she actually get upset? How often do you get screamed at or see her using destructive anger on the kids or yourself? So how often does that happen?
Occasionally. It's certainly not nearly as often as it used to be.
It used to be like a multiple day event here.
But maybe once a month every few months, there's something comes up where you really get upset about something.
Yeah, what? Once a month just makes me giggle. Why does that happen? Hormones, mom. Oh, yeah, hormones are interesting. There's definitely, hormones are important to track for both husband and wife. As far as tracking your wife's cycle is a good idea. And we try to communicate about that. Because, yeah, I definitely get more triggered and frustrated when I am hormonal. But
I think it's okay to call it out for what it is. Like, there are some days or a couple of days in a row where I'm like, man, it seems like I just can't do anything right. And I'm like, wait a second. That usually means something.
How often too have I been like, hey babe, it's not me talking, it's the hormones, please forgive me.
Yeah, that's helpful to be able to call it what it is.
Yeah, it really is.
Because I can give you more space and grace for the situations and just step back and be like, okay, you do your thing and I'm going to do mine and we'll come together in the next
So
couple of days.
when those things do happen, when I do have a moment, what does that typically look like now?
I think it goes back to you often saying, we need to stop this conversation now and I need to take a break because if we go further,
Yeah, but when I blow it, what does it look like?
you often take some time to yourself, and usually what that means is you leave the situation, sometimes right in the middle of what's going on, and everybody's like, where'd mom just go?
Yeah. That's
And
something I'm working on, is I'm still trying to work on. Sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just, I think for me, what I'm still growing through is being able to just communicate that right there in the moment, that I'm frustrated and I need to take a moment. It's not you guys, it's me. And so I'm still trying to get that connection, and where I'm working on that neuro pathway. Because I don't.
I have to say, you do get it right often.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. I know that if I don't stop right now and remove myself, I'm going to get to a place that's not healthy. And so I try. But there has been an occasion or two that I have screamed or yelled or said something I wish I wouldn't have. I really love our recycle bin. I like to go out there and smash cans and boxes and whip plastic bottles across the garage because I'm not hurting anybody in that. Yeah. So definitely, I do feel a lot healthier than I ever have been in the past.
So just in hindsight, a couple of things that I think have been helpful for us to talk through, because like you mentioned Elisa several times, is when we went through marriage coaching, we did a lot of walk and talks
Oh, yeah.
and probably talked on those walks for thousands and thousands of hours if we totaled it all up. So there was a lot of communicating that happened, but
And sometimes we had strollers and bikes. The kids would be biking. And when they were old enough that we could leave the house for a walk just around the neighborhood, we were able to do that. But there are some parents out there who can't leave the house at the moment. And so one thing we also did was sit on the couch and gave ourselves 15 minutes at least to talk. And that was either after the kids were in bed, or it was at a time in the evening when they were distracted doing something else, and we had to expect interruptions.
yeah.
But it, yes, it's very important that we connected and had those conversations in the evenings. Even now, I miss it if we don't get it.
Yeah. So one of the things that came up in those conversations was some things that we figured out, right? Where did the anger often come from for you? And it was often around the control issue. If you felt out of control in a situation, then it often would lead to fear around how do I maintain control of the situation? And when you get afraid of something or get into that fear response, then it puts the blinders on, where all you can focus on then in that moment is I must control for this reason. And it puts those blinders on, and all of a sudden you can't see potential solutions to the situation that could be helpful.
Definitely get into an infinite loop in your brain. I look at the computer screen, when it gives you that little circling.
Yeah.
That's where your brain goes. There's like, how do you trigger yourself out of that?
Yeah. So that need for control often came up for you when something about your identity was threatened. So that could be like the identity of, I need to be a good mom, right? Or we need to show that we have this successful lifestyle. We need to show that if we're in a peer group, we need to show that we have loving relationships and we're all very happy, right?
All for show.
Those were all wrapped up in your identity of who you wanted to be, like that story you wanted to show and tell yourself. And so when that identity was threatened was when you started to feel out of control, and then it led to that fear response.
I also had the insecurity that I wasn't good enough. and that you didn't actually love me, that you just settled for me, and that I wasn't a good enough mom. And so I would overcompensate trying to show that I was those things to the world, but really inside I was just breaking up inside and really hurting.
Yeah. So there was that identity that we talked about a lot. And another way to say that is it's all about the stories that we tell about ourselves. Like you mentioned that you had this fear that you weren't good enough. But just thinking about stories that you tell yourself, you're like, if I'm going to be happy in life, or if our family's going to be happy, then we have to do X, Y, Z. And if we can't do X, Y, Z, then that was one of the things that led to a trigger of anger. Mm-hmm. Or I want my kids to be successful in life and do X, Y, Z. And all of a sudden, if the kids aren't progressing along that path, then that led to a trigger for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. So much there.
Yeah. So one of the things that you said before we started here was, what are a few Bible verses that talk about the things that we're talking about here? And I think that identity and the stories we tell ourselves, that all those kind of things are wrapped up in the concept of pride.
Yeah.
And if we approach a situation from a place of pride, it's all about me and what I want and those kind of things. And the verse that I was thinking about that talks about that is Proverbs 11:2, which says, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. And so when you can take your eyes off of yourself and how you think it needs to be and how you need to control things, and you reduce the pride in the situation and approach it from a place of humility, then it really changes your thoughts about the situation. It changes how you can respond.
It's definitely a growing experience to have to look at yourself and face your pride. And I've had moms who are like, I can't just stop. Like, I get triggered 0 to 60. They do something and I'm instantly angry. And I'm telling them, well, you need to do your sit and praise. Start practicing those. Look for opportunities to use those. And really start praying about the fact that, Lord, please change my heart for your, and this is where a huge thing happened for me. I prayed, Lord, your desires, not my desires, your will, not my will. And I remember in that moment thinking, that means everything that I want materialistically and the identity that I've been wanting to have has to crumble. And that means I can't compare myself to anyone anymore. I have to compare myself to what the word of God says that I am. And I'm a humbled servant who's supposed to love my neighbor as myself, including my husband and my kids as my neighbors. And I need to seek what he wants me to do and be, not what I want. And that was a very humbling, I can remember crying through that prayer. I was scared. I'm like, but if I'm not those things that I want, what am I? And it's turned out to be something so beautiful. And he's really helped me to surrender to his will. And neither one of us would have thought when Enya was 2 or 3 years old that I'd be coaching mamas through destructive anger and burnout. Not a chance. So it's just really cool to see how the Lord has made my mess, our mess, into something that's been beautiful in both all of our like everything in our marriage, everything our marriage entails when it comes to finance and physical intimacy and recreational intimacy, all the intimacies that Tony and Elisa talk about at One Extraordinary Marriage. The Lord has really been blessing us in growth, and that comes from us surrendering ourselves to him on a daily basis.
Yeah. So when you think about your trigger tracker, obviously we've talked a lot about it, but I've never been through one of your trigger trackers personally. So is that a place where you can start to think about identity and the stories you tell yourself and those kind of things that lead to a trigger for anger?
It's definitely a baby step in the stories you're telling yourself, because you go through it and first you have to confess, what did you do? And it's not the pretty part, but you got to look at it and say, what'd you look like? when you were doing this? And then what were the thoughts going through your head when this happened? What got you to this point? What happened? And then it asks you to think about what are the thoughts? Let's capture those negative thoughts and go the opposite direction. What do we want to think in this time when we get frustrated? What's productive? And then how could we look at this situation when it happens again? How can we walk through it in a healthier way, in a more productive way? And then what does God's word say about us or this type of situation? Can we find something to support our growth spiritually in that? And so it definitely is steps in processing. And that's the thing. We can't change our identity. We can't change our behaviors if we don't stop and actually self-reflect with ourselves and with the Lord. And it's like David, right? Show me what my heart, Lord, show me what I need to repent for. Show me where I need to grow. And we get to do that every day with the Lord. And we're going to make mistakes. And he's so forgiving and has all the graces what Jesus died for us for. And he's absolutely restored and redeemed our marriage and the relationship with our kids. How do you see my relationship with the girls today?
I think your relationship with the girls has been completely transformed, where these challenges that you've had to work through have given you a deeper understanding of them and where they are in life. And you've really been able to translate these challenges into, for our family, into something positive, where you can help the girls walk through a challenge that they're going through now, because you have a much deeper perspective on seeing things through their eyes, or you're very much more aware of those little nuances, the little things in behavior or speech, those kind of things that come through with them, and you can really help them at a much deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love being their mama, and I love being your wife.
No.
Okay, I'm gonna cry. I have a feeling that you'll be back on here again, because there's so much more we could have covered today, but we probably should wrap it up.
Okay.
And if anybody has questions for Mike or me, you can email me, Natalie at nataliehickson.com, or you can DM me on Instagram at Angry Mama Coach. And will you come back on?
I will come back on, yeah.
Cool. It's fun talking to you.
So it's fun.
Maybe we should bring you on when Elise is here.
Okay.
That'll be fun. All right, mamas. I hope that was encouraging and helpful for you and your husband today as you've been listening. And I'm going to wrap it up. Do you want to pray, honey? Want to pray us out?
Sure.
Awesome.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for these moments that we can have together. Thank you that we have the opportunity to share stories, to share the things that we've learned. Lord, I pray that you would bless the mamas and the dads that are listening to this. Pray that you would work in their hearts and that it would produce a positive result in their life, their marriage, and for their kids. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. My prayer is this podcast episode gave you motivation, hope, and encouragement to start taking the steps forward in healing so you can enjoy being the wife and mama the Lord has made you to be. No mama should feel alone in her anger, and she needs to know there's hope and restoration for her motherhood journey. You can make a huge difference in the life of another mama who may be struggling with destructive anger and burnout by simply liking and sharing this podcast with others. Also, hit the subscribe button so you don't miss the next helpful episode. Thanks again for sharing, and have a blessed day.